Church, say amen.
Amen.
For God is good,
and all the time.
And I know it's warm in here, but nevertheless, we must serve God in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
And if you think it's warm where you're at, you ought to stand where I'm standing.
All right.
It's very warm up here.
All right.
But nevertheless, I shall do my best to make it a little shorter for you this morning. But nevertheless, we're going to get through it if we just hold our hand in God's hand.
Amen.
This morning we're going to speak from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 through verses 8. Our Heavenly Father's corrections. Correction. Let us go to God in prayer. O Lord, gracious Father, which art in heaven, we have been blessed once again by you, O Lord, and we're so thankful that you have seen fit to see us through another day, into another day. We're so grateful, Father, that you passed us through last night while we slept and slumbered. You protected us, you kept us, and you brought us back again today. Thank you, Lord. Now, my Heavenly Father, as I pray for this local congregation here and all of its members, I pray for its leaders, pray for the brothers who have taken the time to do their duties this morning, and I pray for them who shall come beyond this point. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for those who are here today. Thank you for those who may not be here yet, but may be on their way that they may get here safely and securely. Father, we thank you and we pray for the sick and the shut in, those who are not feeling their best. We pray for those who have recently lost loved ones. We just pray, O Heavenly Father, that you continue to strengthen them, that they may carry on. Father, we thank you for Jesus, who one day came down to this earth to hang, bleed, and die on yonder's cross, not for himself, but for us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for sending him to Calvary's cross on our behalf. Thank you, Father, for everything you do for us. Thank you for our continuation of life. As we come here today from our house to your house, we're so grateful and so thankful that you have blessed us once again. We pray for those who are in charge of our government, O Lord. We just pray that they not make any rules or regulations that would harm us from serving thee in spirit and in truth. We thank you, Father, for our soldiers, our policemen, our doctors, our lawyers, our teachers who help to get our lives on track, O Heavenly Father. But, Father, thanks be to you for keeping us on the straight and narrow. You gave us a whole book of instructions on how to get from earth to glory. And we're so thankful, Father, that you have done this for us. And we pray that we can live up to its expectations, your expectations, O Heavenly Father. Where when you call us on home, Lord, that we may understand and hear you say, well done, my good and faithful servant, well done. These blessings we do continue to ask in Jesus' name. Let us all say amen. Our text today deals with the Lord's corrections of us regarding our wrongdoings. Those of whom he corrects are his children. A word that comes to mind for many of us when we were children is a whipping. Many of today's children have never heard of. They don't even know what the word means because they have not gotten one. Some of us may remember when the parents used to say to us, when they were going to whip us, they would say things like, this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. I never figured that out. I'm the one who's taking the beating, but yet it's going to hurt you more than stop it. But I didn't dare say that. But nevertheless, our Heavenly Father has a variety of ways in which He disciplines us. Today, the law does not allow, it has threatened parents with legal ramifications if they whip their children. God is not bound by our legal system, so when He corrects us, He who has the power to punish, who has the power to punish Him, all the powerful and all the mighty ones must accept God's glory and God's grace and God's mercy. Let us go to the Word of God right now. God loves His own and He watches over us. His sons, our earthly fathers would not let His own children live like the world when they are supposed to be believers in the Lord. Therefore, as we are corrected by our earthly father, our heavenly Father also corrects us. Our heavenly Father offers corrections to turn us from sin. Look at verse number 11 in Hebrews 12. Verse 11 in Hebrews 12 says, "Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful nevertheless afterward. It yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." Notice the word "trained" there. We have been trained. When we are punished by God, He does it sometimes for our training. Our Heavenly Father offers corrections that to turn us from sin, as I said. In verse 10, we must accept correction from our earthly fathers as well as our Heavenly Father. Our earthly parents are but fleshy fathers, but our Heavenly Father is the Father of our spirit. Verse number 10, in God's correction is for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. Therefore, God's correction is for our own good. His correction is because He loves us, according to Revelations 3 and 19. "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten." There are different ways in which God disciplines us. One way He disciplines us is He lets us have our own way. Another method might include He may not answer our prayers. Watch the word of God in Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. He says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that He cannot save, neither is His ear heavy that He cannot hear." But verse number 2 puts it all in perspective. "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear." Sin caused a block between God and Israel in the case of this text of Isaiah. Today, sin still separates us from God. And when you think about it, what a sad state we find ourselves in when God will not hear us because He has hidden His face from us due to our sins. Sin is darkness and truth is light. So I ask this question this morning, which one would you rather be in, darkness or light? God may cause us unrest and unhappiness to correct us. Do you remember in Psalms 137, verses 1 and 2? The children of Israel had been taken captive, and they were now in by the rivers of Babylon. There we sat down. We wept when we remembered Zion. We hung up our harps in the midst thereof. Being separated from our Heavenly Father can cause us to become weary and unhappy. Notice verse number 4 of that same text. They ask the question, "How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land?" How can a Christian be happy when he's disobedient to the Lord? These are just several ways that God may use to correct us, but He has many others. But I suggest you don't want to find out. You want to try to stay in God's good graces. How do our children respond to correction? Well, I can answer that by saying differently at best. Some don't like it. Some rebel against the parents. Some children have been known to turn against their parents for correcting them. Some have even run away from home. Some have done evil deeds and even harmed their parents. This has happened with some Christians. We sulk, we get angry. Some have even become angry at God. Look at verse number 5 of Hebrews 12. Verse number 5 says, "And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons." God corrected us, and some have forgotten about the correction. We are not to faint. The word faint means to not quit on God. When he corrects us, as in verse 12, look at verse number 12. "Therefore strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees." Strengthen yourself. Be ready, willing, and accepting of God's chastening of us. Lift up your hands when we endure God's discipline. When we endure it in verse number 7, if we endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chastens not? Even the best children need correction. So too God's best needs correction as well. We are to have our fault. We have our faults, and God sometimes may let others alone, as I said earlier. He will correct sin in his own. Therefore, let us as children of God not be upset when discipline comes our way. Heavenly discipline comes our way. God deals with us as sons when we endure his correction. Today, first, is the Lord's Day. Secondly, today is Father's Day. And I forgot to say Happy Father's Day to all fathers. It lets us to know that as fathers, we must correct our children. We must discipline them. When our children are born, they are considered to be infants, who we expect to grow into little children, who, Lord's will be willingly, and God be willing, we anticipate them to become fully grown sons. And all of us as fathers hope and pray that they grow into productive citizens. But wait a minute. How can they if we don't give them the benefits of our wisdom? How can they if we don't give them the benefit of our knowledge? How can they if we don't discipline them? Notice in verse number 9 of our text. If you go back to the text, verse 9 says, "Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of our spirits and live?" Here is the reward part. Correction brings rewards. We give our earthly fathers reverence when they correct us. So why not give our heavenly Father reverence when he corrects us too? Shall we rather not be in subjection unto our heavenly Father and live? Here lies the rewards part. So today I ask fathers everywhere, do we not owe it to our children to discipline them that they may live? I believe most fathers would rather be in the position to leave their children something, to offer them something better than what we may have had. What better legacy than to teach them about the Word of God? You know, teaching our children about the Word of God is simply a matter of picking up God's Word and going through it and teaching our children. You know, just as easy as we teach our children right from wrong, we can teach them the Word of God. Just as easily as we try to correct them and keep them corrected, God will help us to keep them on the straight and narrow if we just listen to His Word. And somebody may say, well, preacher, it's kind of difficult for me sometime to reach our children today. Well, yes, it may be difficult to reach your children today, but if you want them to live, you must instill in them the Word of God. You must instill in them what's right and what's wrong. Far too many children have been left to raise themselves today, and far too many of them raise themselves wrongly. Today we need more wisdom and knowledge of God in our homes. That Bible that I say so often is just a decoration on your coffee table needs to be picked up and opened up and read from and taught from. God's Word is the right way for us to go. God's Word is right to teach and discipline our children with. And I'm not advocating against the law that says, that tells you about whipping them. But I'll tell you this much. If you don't, they will. If you don't, they will whip them in many different areas. Because once they get them in jail, they can do whatever they want to them. But I must admit, and I'd be one of the first to admit, some of them need it. Our kids have gone astray. But then, firstly, I must fault the fathers for letting them go astray. Father, you are the head of your household. Get it in order so that your children will grow up and be healthy and righteous sons. And this goes for the girls, too. I'm just not picking on the boys. Fathers must learn to discipline their children as God disciplines His children. God knows when to discipline His children, and we as parents must know when we are to discipline our children. Now, I'm not saying you should abuse them. I'm simply saying you need to chastise them. I'm simply saying you need to get on the ball with them. What good is a father who goes out and throws a baseball with his son but never corrects him? He grows up thinking life is a game of ball, and it's not. What good is it if a father just keeps hiding the Word of God from his children and say, I'll teach them later on? What good is it if a father doesn't give them the practical knowledge of wisdom, of His wisdom? But then be careful that you don't try to out-wisdom the Word of God. Amen. Now I know that in times of trouble, in terms of trials, in terms of tribulation, we turn to God at that time. But there's also a time when you just need to turn to God and ask Him for guidance and instruction. Ask Him to show you the way to raise your children. Ask Him to give you the right method and the right mind over matter to deal with them. You know, we got enough knucklehead juniors out there. We need some more who have a little wisdom and knowledge. Some who can learn that what they learn, they will also pass on to their children. Now, I'm not scolding the fathers of today because this is Father's Day, but I'm simply telling you what I think is the right way to go. I'm simply saying to you, pick up the Word of God and read from it. Pick up the Word of God and teach from it. And then your children, look at verse number 5, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by Him. For whom the Lord loves, He chastens and scourges every son whom He receives. Now that tells a lot there, church. When you raise your children up right, they'll respect you. They should learn to respect you. They should learn to do the will of their father, and their father should learn to do the will of his heavenly father. And I like verse number 7 once again. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. So what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. You can't get mad at God when he corrects you. You can't get mad at God when he disciplines you and corrects you. Church, I'm saying to you this morning, on this Father's Day, learn to do the right thing by your children. Learn to put God first in your life. Learn to have God as the leader of your life. And I told you I wasn't going to be long because I know it's hot, but it's awfully hot up here. So I'm going to come down now. Get a little cool air, right? Oh, that feels good. You know, as hot as it is in here this morning, it's hotter outside. And hell is even hotter than that. So you might want to try to get this right this morning. You might want to try to remember how to raise your children according to the Word of God. You might want to understand better what God wants from you, and then you can present it to your children. You might want to know just what God's will is for your life so that you may instill it in your children. You might want to understand that God is all right with us. God is good. And all the time, God is good. Now, I say this because not because, once again, I'm not scolding the fathers, but because I love the fathers. But I love God even more so. And he's the one, those are his words in the Bible, the words of the Lord in the Bible that tells us what to do. And I understand that the weather is inclement, but do you remember just a couple of months ago, you were talking about how cold it was outside. You wanted this weather, now you got it. Just a few months ago, we were coming in bundled up, trying to keep warm, and couldn't wait to get your gloves off so you could shake hands with your brothers and sisters. Now you don't need any gloves on, you're still shaking hands, but you're still complaining. So where does the Lord please you at? If he gives you good weather, you complain. If he gives you bad weather, you complain. So when do you stop? Well, you can't have the weather your way. You can have it God's way because God is in charge of it. God is very much so in charge of the weather. But you know something we ought to be thankful for? We got air conditioning. It may not be operating at its peak, but it's operating. Amen. So be thankful for that. And I know that all of us would like it 20 degrees cooler. But if it got 20 degrees cooler, you'd start saying things like, is this supposed to be the kind of weather we're having in June? If it got cooler, you'd start complaining about when is summer going to get here? But we ought to be just satisfied that God has given us the opportunity and the privilege to be in here in the house of worship. Be in here in the service of the Lord. And I see the fans just moving. I'm going to let you go in a minute. I'm going to finish up. I told you I was going to be short. But nevertheless, we ought to be thankful to God for whatever he gives us. Because he didn't have to give you anything. He didn't have to give us nothing. But something is better than nothing any way you cut it. and the weather is hot, it's awfully hot, but I'd rather be here in it than not be. So be thankful. And if you want to become a part of the Lord's body, you come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. But if you've already taken those steps, but somewhere you went astray, you come to God, go to God and ask Him to forgive you of your shortcomings, come to the church, ask Him to pray for you, that you may grow stronger. This is your desire as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.